This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Let's be honest, it was a pretty rough day in Adelaide today. Last week, we were bragging about Adelaide being the hotspot for hot celebrities, and now we're literally the hotspot for coronavirus.
Let's just hope and pray that Zac Efron does not pick up coronavirus, because we will be the laughing stock of the rest of the world if this happens.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, it has been really scary today, and toilet paper is already being hoarded by a lot of Adelaide locals.
Well, let's be honest, including Sophie panic shopped before, but I'm not complaining because she did buy us Pringles.
I picked up a 24 roll.
Well, fortunately, I actually did that yesterday and I wasn't panic buying because, of course, we didn't know about the COVID cases. But let's be positive for a second. Zac Efron has been spotted multiple times in Adelaide. So he's been at Rundle Mall twice just shopping.
He picked up a pair of shoes, actually.
At RM Williams, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The funniest thing was he was at Rundle Mall on Friday night, and that's where Sophie and Brandon always go shopping.
I've copped a bit of heat for last week's podcast. Kate decided to play it to my boyfriend at family dinner, and let's say he was not impressed being mentioned on the podcast.
Which bit, with the farting or the loving of Zac Efron?
A bit from column A, a bit from column B.
Okay, he's probably not happy that we've brought it up again.
Well, we're not going to let this news dampen our spirits. Kate has come up with the goods. She's created a Spotify playlist.
Yes, I've spent a lot of hours coming up with this Christmas playlist for you guys to all enjoy. And if you do enjoy it, please tag Outspoken the Podcast in your Instagram story if you are listening to it while putting up your Christmas tree or while looking at Christmas lights.
I was feeling a bit down before, so I actually had it on repeat before. I was trying to get into that festive spirit.
You would never know you were down. You were literally dancing with a reindeer headband on. And we'll have to take a photo of it and put it on our Insta story. Not Sophie dancing, because might kill us.
Well, I do have that on Instagram story.
Yeah, but it's one of those ones where the reindeers are at the top and they're like bobbing along on wire.
Funny enough, we were playing Santa Claus is Coming by High Five, which I think is God tier level of Christmas carols.
Over the weekend, 22-year-old YouTuber Madison Woolley released a coffee table book of life advice for her younger self. The launch didn't go to plan, with many followers outraged by the book's price tag and skeptical of what life advice someone so young could offer. Sophie, can you tell us more about the launch of the book?
Well, this was one of Madison Woolley's very much hype secret projects, and it did come as quite a surprise to a lot of her followers that she was releasing a limited edition coffee table book. Now, the book is called 23 Things I Think I Know, and she has described the book as a life advice book, and it's filled with things that she's apparently learned so far, including motivational tips, productivity tips, health and wellness, her favorite recipes, fashion, styling advice, career, and budgeting, and even more.
Well, it's actually a very aesthetically pleasing book. It really is one of those books that you would expect to see on a coffee table, and it's full color. The graphic design is really impressive, but I think what's got everyone talking is the price.
Yeah, the book costs $110, and it is a 110-page book, so that is $1 a page you're paying for this book.
When you think about the price tag and then you consider the audience Madison Woolley is targeting with this advice, because she's come out and said that it is advice of people that are younger than her, it's really baffling. I mean, at 31 years old, I have been looking at buying some coffee table books for my house, and I've been too scared to buy like a $58 Prada or Chanel coffee table book, which actually has over 600 pages of content, not 110.
It's safe to say that this price has not been received well by followers. We're going through a recession at the moment. It just comes across as incredibly tone deaf. Her celebration also was quite tone deaf. She went to a very expensive restaurant in Sydney at the harbour and celebrated with vodka shots and caviar.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw her out celebrating, and I just thought from a PR perspective, it just wasn't a great look. And if I had bought her book, I'd feel like I was being ripped off if you're celebrating with champagne and caviar.
In terms of the cost, Madison did actually address it on her Instagram. One follower wrote to her saying, "Oh my God, I was so excited, but why the price? I can't afford that, Devo." She wrote back to her saying, "Hi Queen, the price is to cover the cost of printing the hardbook cover, the cost of my graphic designer, the cost of my photographer, stylist, makeup and hair artist, shoot location and years worth of work from me. I hope that clears it up."
Can I just say, if you're going to present a book that's too expensive for your target audience to purchase, would you not save costs on some of those things? To me, it screams of being extremely self-indulgent that you think you need the best makeup artist, the best photographer, the best hair person to make these photos that obviously you want of yourself, but people can get photos of Madison Woolley for free on her Instagram account.
Yeah, what I also didn't like was the way that she addressed the price issue, because another person wrote in saying, "Who cares about the price? Laugh out loud. Just buy it. It's good." She reshared this post and then wrote that this was a mood. I thought it was a little bit rude to the follower who voiced their concern about the price. I mean, we have to remember that we all, you know, Madison has grown up in a very wealthy family. Not everyone has those same privileges and can afford that sort of book.
It seems very out of touch. I was also concerned because Madison started to suggest her young impressionable fans used Afterpay to purchase the book when people were complaining about the price. And to me, this didn't sit well because Madison promoted the fact that the book included budgeting advice. Now, pushing people to put something onto Afterpay that they can't afford now really doesn't seem like very smart advice.
It is a very interesting business decision to release a book that is double the price of your competitors' books.
It is. And would you guys say that Madison Woolley is well known enough to actually release a book like this?
Well, when you consider the A-grade celebrities who have launched their own coffee table books, Madison Woolley really doesn't compare. We've had the likes of Kim Kardashian, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, Cameron Diaz, Lauren Conrad, Kate Moss, Heidi Klum, Rihanna. I mean, these people are also selling their books for a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that's right, Kate. And those books range from about $15 up to $70. And it's safe to say that Madison Woolley is a lot less known than those people.
Now, there are two celebrities that have coffee table books more expensive than Madison. Now, the first is Beyonce, whose book has 600 pages and is $300. And then we go to Naomi Campbell. Now, her book is rather a ripoff. It's actually $3,000.
That's crazy. I didn't know anyone charged that much for a book.
Well, her book is apparently limited edition, like Madison, and she does sign it, like Madison. However, it's in a special acrylic bookcase that is sculpted on her figure. So it's kind of got an interesting element there.
Well, I had a little bit of a search on how much it actually costs to produce a hard-covered coffee table book. And you'll be interested to find out, you can only really get around 250 copies minimum printed. And if you do so, they cost $36 each. So if we add on the $10 of postage as well, because there's free postage with the book, that's a huge markup of about $64.
Yeah, but Madison did say she was including the whole photo shoot and her time and effort for the book. So it would be interesting to see how those things are assessed, particularly when you don't know how many people are going to purchase the book, because Madison said they are limited edition and she is also opening them up to pre-purchase. So it seems like she's not really confident in herself that they're going to sell.
Look, let's be honest. How do we know that the makeup artist and the photographer were paid? They've been tagged in all of Madison's posts, which would assume that maybe she's promoting them. She might have paid them, but also being in the industry, you know, that costs a few thousand dollars to have a photographer there. Is it really worth the markup?
Well, also the stylist is her friend Caitlin. So, yeah. I mean, you know, what sort of price is she? I mean, you should pay your friends for things, but, you know, that is something that you could get as a contra or through a deal by also tagging her.
Yeah, but when you compare the celebrity books that we just spoke about to Madison Woolley's, I think the big difference is the fact that they actually are published by professional publishers. So Madison Woolley's book is self-published, which obviously when you're working with a celebrity like Kim Kardashian, there's a lot of demand for her book. So the more you print, the cheaper they're going to be. So I can see why there is a bigger markup with Madison's book.
But also, if you're being paid by a publisher to do it, they're obviously taking a percentage of the profits. But if Madison has produced it herself, she is taking all of the profits. So she should actually be able to sell it at a reduced price.
Can I just say, I mean, obviously, I think the price is quite problematic. And also the fact that, you know, what sort of life advice is a 22-year-old handing out? That being said, though, we do have to take our hats off to her for actually releasing a book on her own. It would have taken a lot of effort to put it together. She has put a lot of work into it. I think it's great to see young girls trying to do something different. I mean, we haven't seen too many influencers releasing books. They mostly seem to release, you know, subpar activewear or clothing brands. So, I mean, at least she is doing something that's a little bit different. At least the topic isn't problematic in a really negative way.
Well, we haven't actually read the book. I mean, there are 110 pages of content and we don't know what's actually in it, but at the moment it doesn't seem that problematic. For me though, I was a little bit concerned of the imagery in the book, and the photos that we saw were very you know, photoshopped, very perfect, really promoting this image of perfection, which we see on Instagram. So I don't know how I feel about young girls, like teenagers, being shown photos of perfect girls in bikinis.
It does remind me of the book model Elise Knowles released a few years ago, and she did speak about loving the skin you're in, but then all of the photos of her were in makeup looking perfect. So I do see what you mean with that point, Kate.
Yeah, I suppose it just made me feel uncomfortable because she did say that a part of the book was body positivity, but then all the shots I saw were full face glam and beautiful shots. I mean, she looked stunning in the photos.
The other criticism has been that a lot of the topics are things that you could easily Google. So, for instance, there is a whole chapter on how to style a pair of jeans. It really seems like she's brought her YouTube channel to life in a book, but are we really receiving anything new that we don't already see from her?
Yeah, especially when the advice she is giving is for free on Instagram and YouTube. I mean, I think people are willing to follow along at home and watch her videos, but when it comes to actually paying $110, I don't think many people are keen for that. And I think that has been reflected in Madison Woolley's stories. She did say that she would be sharing everyone who purchased the book, and I've only seen 3 screenshots shared.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised though, because a lot of Madison's followers are men. If you do have a look at her follower list and also the people who leave comments, they're older men, let's be honest.
Oh my God, it's funny you say that, because I noticed on Saturday morning when Madison made the announcement about her book that there was a comment from a man that said, "Madison, will you kick me in the balls?"
Ooh.
Now, that comment has stayed up, yet there was another comment from a disgruntled follower that said, "Why is this so expensive?" Yet that was deleted. I found that decision really weird. The fact that moderation had gone on, but that comment about kicking in the balls had remained.
Like, it keeps her engagement good, doesn't it, to keep some of those comments around?
Well, the crazy thing is, I actually think Madison would have done really well if she just released an ebook that maybe took photos from her Instagram page where she explained how to become an influencer. I mean, how many of her young fans who look up to her would actually want to find out that information as opposed to some aesthetically pleasing coffee table book?
I actually disagree. I think that it is quite within her brand to have a luxury item that is quite aesthetically pleasing. I think where she's gone wrong is the price and the topic.
I don't agree at all. I do not think it is within her brand. As in, if you're looking at her as an influencer and if you're a marketer, her audience is like 16-year-olds. They don't have $110. And if you're bringing out a luxury item like a coffee table book that is not a necessity, people aren't going to buy it.
I'm
that
saying
age.
It's not a necessity. I'm saying that her brand is all about wealth
no,
and luxury.
I think it's more of a confusion around what she wants her brand to be and what it actually is, because yes, a lot of people love watching rich people on Instagram and looking at their expensive designer gear. However, they themselves are not rich and they can't afford expensive coffee table books. So she should have made something that looked luxe, but be at a price point that her young followers could afford.
She's designed a product that she wants. Mm. She hasn't thought, "What do my audience want from me?"
Exactly.
And that's the issue.
And I think she wants to create her own high-end brand, which is quite obvious bringing out a coffee table book. However, there's not the demand for it. I think moving on, the point about the fact that she is 22 years old, not yet 23, but giving out 23 life advice tips. Now, I just wanted to reflect back on the life advice we would have given at 23, because I know myself, I wouldn't be comfortable putting out a book of 31 tips on how to live your life even now when I'm 31.
Can I just say the Shameless girls did a really great job in their book. Despite them being 26, they actually gave some really good life advice. But this book is really different, as in the life advice they're giving compared to what Madison's giving about washing your face before you go to bed.
To be fair, we haven't read the 110 pages, so I don't know if we can comment on the content particularly within it. I mean, of course, we've seen the topics, which...
Yeah, but we saw the topics and it's like, what jeans look good with a white top?
I mean, so I was concerned when Shameless said they were bringing a book out about life in your 20s, considering they are only halfway through, but it was an amazing read. And I think because they are such amazing writers, it really does make a difference. Whereas Madison's not known for her writing.
But they've also gone through a lot of adversity in their life. Mm. And that's something that I don't necessarily think Madison has gone through. I mean, not to be stereotypical, but she is an influencer who is 22, who's grown up in a very wealthy family and has a great boyfriend. I don't think there's much adversity that we yet know of or that she has shared within the book itself.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, let's get into some of the tips we would have shared at age 23 that we would really now regret sharing.
Well, to kick it off, one of them is, if he cheats on you, it's probably your fault and you should win him back. Now, sadly, that probably is something that we did live by in our early 20s.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I live by, but did.
I don't know if it's like it's your fault if someone cheats on you. I think it's like just that people would overlook it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another one I personally used to do is sleep with makeup on. I thought it was a good idea that, you know, I'd look nice and fresh in the morning with makeup on. That's probably not a great idea for your skin. It's probably the worst thing you can do for your skin.
But who actually looks good when you've woken up with makeup on either? It just looks terrible from someone who has also done it before.
Good idea at 23. Get a job in the media. That, you know, those jobs will be around forever.
I know, we're discovering that that's not such a clever move, aren't we? Well, what about this? I used to think that it was okay to tan in the sun on an overseas holiday.
Yeah, I feel like that is something that we are only learning more about now, or it's becoming more public knowledge that that's not a good idea.
Yeah, it actually makes me feel sick that I ever used to actually tan. I mean, it was not very often, but still.
What about dietary tips? Because I used to think that all calories were kind of even. So if I had only eaten, say, like a banana in the morning, then I could go crazy and eat like heaps of chocolate.
Yeah, I didn't really take sugar into consideration at the age of 23.
Yeah, well, we also had a calorie counting book, I remember, when we were about 20, because we went through this phase where we thought it was really important to cut fat out after watching, what was that show? It was like You Are What You Eat. And I remember never having a milkshake. I think I've only recently started drinking milkshakes again, because I remember that they were like 600 calories and I was like, oh my God, I can't eat that.
Another one at 23 was that we all thought that footballers were really impressive and someone to try and chase. I think probably a lot of girls go through that at 23.
Yeah, then you realize that they're not at all.
They're all dickheads.
In terms of fashion, I thought at the time when I was 23 that colored jeans were really cool. And now I've got all these different, like I have a yellow pair and a maroon pair and a rusty colored pair, and I never wore them because they just make you look bigger than you are.
That's some good advice though, I feel like.
Yeah, but I would have advised to buy them.
Oh, yes, and of course.
And the budgeting tip would, of course, be spend hundreds of dollars at Zara on the weekend whilst you're living at home with your parents. Don't worry about saving that money up.
Lastly, I thought it was an amazing idea to straighten my hair every day. Now, that was probably from the age of 13 to 24. I now realize how much damage that caused, and I am still trying to outgrow all those damaged bits.
Now, we'd love to hear what your life advice at 23 was that you now regret. Join us at our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community. We will have a thread in there. I can't wait to see what everyone's is.
Hey, you know what would make a great coffee table book? A coffee table book about coffee tables.
Influencers are furious at Instagram's latest update, accusing the tech giants of only being concerned with making money. It's the biggest change we've seen to the app's layout in 10 years, with the new design making online shopping and short-form videos a major focus. Now, Sophie, I was with you when this app update came into effect, and it's safe to say you weren't happy.
I was completely thrown. I was about to film an Insta story for a client and I could not find the story button. It was nowhere to be
Do you mean that, like, how to upload a story button? Like the plus sort of thing?
Yes, it was gone. I had no idea where it was. So basically what has happened is that now anchored at the bottom of the screen are shortcuts to Instagram Reels and Instagram Shopping. The notification tab and the new post tab, which was down the bottom, has now been moved up to the right corner where the direct messages are now located.
Well, how do you put a story on?
So if you want to put a story up, you have to press the plus button. There then is a list of things to click on, whether it's a new post, a new story, a new reel. It's so confusing. Here's a little hack. You can also just swipe across your screen and the story will come up.
See, my Instagram is yet to be updated with this terrible update, and I don't know when it's going to happen because it seems to be quite random. Because yeah. Amy said that you had it, Amy, and then it's gone back to normal.
Yeah, it's just on our business page now, so I don't get it. When I flick between accounts, it's not in my own personal one.
Well, have Instagram actually commented on this change?
Yeah, well, Instagram has come out and addressed it in a blog post. They wrote, "We haven't updated Instagram's home screen in a big way for quite a while, but how people create and enjoy culture has changed. And the biggest risk to Instagram is not that we change too fast, but that we don't change and become relevant." This is very telling, I feel, because it is obvious that Instagram is very threatened by TikTok. They are trying to concentrate on creating short-form videos that rival TikTok.
Well, we saw it when Snapchat was booming and they introduced Snap Stories and that was so popular, and then Instagram just introduced their own stories, and then now a lot of people don't use Snapchat for the storing anymore.
Well, it's funny you say that because now Instagram is also bringing in the Snapchat feature where your conversations disappear. So it's basically for a lot of fuckboys around there who want to say stuff to girls and for there to be no trace of that being said.
I just don't get how Instagram can flat out copy these elements of different social media apps and get away with it.
But we eat it up, don't we? Like, everyone is currently doing Reels at the moment because the engagement level is so high with Reels. So Instagram are rewarding you for putting up Reels at the moment.
Well, I suppose it also makes sense because you kind of want one social media platform that does it all. Like, I don't want to have to go between TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram. Like, if Instagram has all of those functionalities, then you're going to be using that.
It does annoy me though, because I hate going on Instagram when people are just trying to push items for sale. Like, we see it all the time with influencers, and now they're doing it with this shop function, and I feel like it's going to push people away from the app.
Well, the Instagram shop was actually released in July this year, and before you could find it in the explore section, it is now at the bottom anchored section, so you can just click on the shopping bag to get into this shopping feature. And it is designed to help users discover brands both in Australia and around the world. I really think that what they're trying to do here is come for the influencers. They are trying to make money through their own shopping feature and get rid of influencers just going out on their own and signing these brand deals.
Well, it seems like a very staggered approach, because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the fact that James Charles was really annoyed about the algorithm change because he really had noticed a drop in his engagement, which, of course, engagement is needed in order to push products and get brand deals. And now this new update, it seems pretty obvious, as you said, that Instagram is trying to turn itself into a sales platform and take more of the profit themselves.
I actually think it's quite a strategic move from Instagram to put the shop button where the love heart button used to be, because we all know everyone's constantly pressing the love heart button to see who's added them or who's commented on their post.
So people are basically getting classically conditioned to push the shop button rather than seeing the feedback on their Instagram posts, which everyone loves to do.
For those who are interested in how Instagram actually makes money off the shopping feature, here's how. Basically, there is a selling fee involved for a brand. So if a brand sells a particular item, Instagram take money from that sale.
So is that like on eBay or Depop where the platform takes a percentage of the cart?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. I know with eBay, they take about 10% of the purchase.
What I can also assume is that brands will be paying to be featured more prominently on the app as well. So they'd be making a large amount of money off brands who want to feature in the top spots of that shopping section.
It is pretty interesting because Instagram have always been about keeping people on their platform, and only recently they introduced the swipe up link for people that had over 10,000 followers. And a lot of influencers obviously use this feature for their brand deals and to send people off to, you know, shops' websites, whereas Instagram are being really clever and saying, hey, no, let's actually keep everyone on Instagram. So once they've bought their item, then they continue to scroll.
We were talking about James Charles before, and he was quite outspoken in the recent algorithm changes. He has also been incredibly outspoken on this update. He said they've moved everything around and make it very, very clear where their priorities lie, and that is making money and only making money. Now, I love James Charles, but I kind of see a bit of a contradiction here. It's safe to say that it appears that influencers are only concerned about this because they don't want their ability to make money be taken away. We have to remember that Instagram is a free app who these people benefit very highly from.
But Instagram benefits from them being on the app as well, because if people like James Charles weren't on there, not as many people would be on Instagram using the app.
But we're also on Instagram to see our friends' pages as well.
But no one ever posts. I mean, I'm kind of on James Charles's side. I mean, yes, he does make a lot of money from the app, but as Amy said, people go onto the app to watch him. And I know for a fact with Facebook, I mean, we used to go on Facebook all the time. Back in our uni days, that was the place to go. However, it got completely ruined when Facebook decided to monetize itself. And this just seems another way Instagram is going to go down the pan. I mean, everyone loves TikTok at the moment because it's not monetized. You don't have all those commercial things being pushed at you.
But that's obviously, they're incredibly threatened by TikTok, and that is why they are trying to make these reels a complete focus of their
But then they're trying to focus also on the monetization of the platform as well. So it's kind of like this weird balancing act. Like, which one do you want? Because at the end of the day, we're going to go on the platform that gives us the best content.
The issue is going to be though, if some of these influencers get really pissed off, because Instagram are basically competing against the influencer to get the brand's money by doing this. Because some brands will go, oh, I'm going to pay to be on this shop page instead of paying James Charles money to promote my brand. But it's going to start this ugly war.
But I kind of disagree with what you were saying earlier though, Kate and Amy, because yes, they have introduced the feature of shopping on the app, but they've also introduced the feature of reels, which is an incredibly creative process. So they're saying, hey, we're sick of influencers just sharing aesthetically pleasing photos. We want to see people creating fun content that's actually engaging. And I think with the year we've had, we are pushing more towards influencers that give us value, not just those who look good.
Yeah, but the thing is, if Instagram takes away influencers' means to actually earn money, then they're not going to be bothered to create engaging content to be on the platform. So it's really the chicken and the egg. Like, you need people on the platform creating the content to view it. So I don't know, it's a bit of a confusing one.
I mean personally, if I was Instagram, I'd be thinking of a way that I could make some of that money back that influencers are making.
Yeah, but they make so much money off the platform. It's not like they're going poor or anything.
Well, one really clever move from Instagram is that to celebrate the launch of the new shopping app, they are having a world first exclusive shopping night called Insta Night. So basically, they're going to be sharing a lot of sales on December 3rd. And I think that is going to entice a lot of young people to start using this app and seeing how effective and easy it is to use.
What's happening?
An evil takes a human form in Regina George.
I'll be fooled, because she may seem like your typical selfish, backstabbing, slut-faced hoe bag, but in reality, she is so much more than that.
Let's get into the reality wrap. Now, Kate, there's some pretty exciting Batchy Baby news that happened over the weekend.
Yes, it's really exciting news. The OG Batchy couple, Anna and Tim, have announced the arrival of their daughter, Elle Robards. Did anyone else think this name was just so cute?
I think it's very elegant and it's just exactly what I expected. And what a gorgeous little baby.
Yes, it was very cute. Tim wrote on Instagram, "I've fallen in love all over again with these two. I just love, love, love our little Elle Robards. How bloody amazing. I never knew my wife was a superhero. What a woman."
I feel like this new arrival has reminded me how good The Bachelor used to be and that real love stories can actually come out of this show. They have a lot of work to get back there, but hopefully they can do it.
Well, on the topic of The Bachelor, did anyone else see Angie Kent on the front cover of Body and Soul?
Yeah, well, our mum actually sends us screenshots of the Sunday Mail every Sunday morning on Messenger, and I was really surprised when I saw this because they were making Angie Kent out to be some poster child for plastic surgery when she's not.
So for those who didn't see it, the headline on the front cover read, "Why it costs $26,740 a year to look like this." And there was a photo of Angie and it had different price tags on different parts of her face. So for instance, it had Botox and it claimed that it cost her X amount for Botox. And I just thought, wow, this is really not a good look one for Angie, and I don't think it would be something that she'd be happy with.
I also didn't like the inference the article made that she had to get all this work done to be on The Bachelorette, because at the end of the day, Angie was chosen to be on The Bachelorette for her amazing personality and her down-to-earth quality, and she has been so open about the fact that, yeah, I do a bit of Botox and I do this and that, but she's also been upfront about being just a normal girl, and I think they're really trying to push her as some sort of Kim Kardashian-esque person when she's not.
Well, I loved it because Angie hit out at Body and Soul on Instagram. She did say that she enjoyed being on the photo shoot and that the team were really nice, but she said, however, I do feel the headline on the front cover is a bit clickbaity and very much not how I would go about saying, ladies, you do you. I'm a huge believer in celebrating women and all the effort they have to put in to sometimes fit the idea of a glow up or just how much freaking effort that goes into getting ready for work or a cheeky night out or even a shit date.
I think the most frustrating part about this is the fact that Angie said she really did talk about how her biggest investment has been in her mental health and physical health, as well as investing in her soul. And the whole magazine is called Body and Soul, yet this was not mentioned at all. The pure focus was on plastic surgery.
Well, she did receive a lot of support from other influencers and well-known people. One of those was Clementine Ford, who commented, "It also invites people to harass and troll you, which is so awful." Which is such a good point because people were hitting out and trolling Angie after the article was published.
Well, I think what is so refreshing is that I feel like people are seeing beyond these headlines now. I think that people are realizing that journalists put these things out there purely as clickbait, and it really is important to look at what quotes were actually used in the article and then also at the individual's Instagram to see if they have an issue with it.
Now let's get into the influencer wrap, and I'm sorry, but I am still talking about Steph Claire Smith's baby news. On Saturday, she announced to her followers that her and Josh would be having a baby boy. So they actually shot one of those like cannon guns out, and it came with blue powder, which was quite funny because I was actually Googling what the name for one of those sort of gender reveal guns is. And sadly, I saw that a woman in like Iowa had been killed by one of these at another gender reveal party. So it seems like they're quite dangerous. Fortunately, the announcement went off without a hitch.
I'm in two minds as to whether I would personally want a gender reveal party myself.
I always thought that I'd want a surprise, but I think it's something really exciting that you can enjoy during your pregnancy and then get organized for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it is kind of a cool idea. And I suppose when you're pregnant, you might feel differently about it, Sophie. But just moving along to influencer Anastasia Kingsnorth, and I was laughing literally out loud last night watching her latest YouTube video with her mum, Julie.
Yeah, I got a late night Snapchat of this when I was trying to sleep. And Amy's like, turn this volume up. You need to hear it. And then I turn it up and this is what I heard.
Okay, go on, yeah.
What's the stranger place that you weed?
Just in the toilet. I don't know where else.
You never weed in the shower?
Never. Who does that? Oh, you do.
I've been in the shower sometimes. Saves time.
I hope you don't.
I do. I guarantee. No, no, so many people wee in the shower, Mum. Not wee in the bath, but so many people wee in the shower.
You go wee in that shower?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right, number one, I'd leave that out of the video.
Okay, I really wouldn't because so many people wee in the shower.
I'm really shocked. I think that's disgusting.
What, before you wash yourself just to go wee in the shower?
Yeah, I think that's disgusting. That's the epitome of laziness. Yeah.
It's the epitome.
And you can put that in. That's disgusting.
Okay.
I despair of my daughter. That's disgusting. And I agree with you all. That is absolutely disgusting.
Okay,
I had
also,
no
please.
Idea you went wee in your shower.
Please let me know.
If I was you, I'd take that out, Anna. You'll get so much grief for that.
No. Please let me know down below if you've weed in the shower, because I guarantee you so many people have.
Your friends, maybe.
Yeah, no, so many people have weed in the shower.
I'll be honest with you, Anna, I have never heard of one person in my 46 years almost of weeing in the shower. I'm really disappointed.
I loved the mother, Julie's response to this. She was disgusted at the idea of her daughter weeing in the shower.
I loved her facial expressions because you could tell she was very genuine, and she even told Anastasia, as we've just heard, not to put it in her video, which obviously shows how disgusted she was. I've got to ask, what are your views on pissing in the shower?
Well, Mum might force us to take this out of the podcast because, yes, of course I piss in the shower.
I know, I just thought it was a normal thing. Like, I've got to be honest, when you go in the morning, like, I'm not going to go to the bathroom and then go to the shower. Is that wrong?
Well, Julie actually said that's the epitome of laziness, not going to the toilet before you have a shower. And do you know what? I never used to wee in the shower.
But I must admit,
I must admit, I do on the odd occasion, but I was always the person who would go to the toilet, and I used to think, I was literally Julie in this video, I used to think it was foul that people did it.
Well, let's just throw it out there. I've been known to piss in the pool as well, so
I draw the line.
Like, Sophie, you need to remove this from the podcast. I think that's foul.
I think it's something about, like, in the shower, it's something about the warm water running, and you're so relaxed.
Have you heard of people pooing in the shower? Because apparently
it's a thing, and the waffle stomping thing.
I don't believe that's actually
a thing. No, I heard that term. And do you know what? I think it's for people who, you know, some people don't have a toilet in their bathroom. And I feel like a lot of people who might sleep over at a significant other's house might poo in the shower.
And risk putting poo on the tiles smelling.
Yeah,
and
that is the dumbest thing I've heard you say,
that
Amy.
That is so wrong.
That would cause... Draw way more attention to yourself pooing in someone's shower and stomping it down the bloody drain.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I feel like it's one of these, I would never, ever, ever do that, but I feel like there are a lot of people who have done it.
I don't think so.
So you were seriously sitting here saying that you think a woman would be sleeping over at her partner's house and doesn't want to go to the toilet, but instead poos in the shower and stomps it down.
I'm not saying a woman, I'm saying a man.
But a man wouldn't care about doing a poo then.
He might.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Well, all I've got to say is I feel like as long as you aim at the drain, then you're okay.
For those who are interested in seeing the facial expressions made by Anastasia's mum, Julie, we will be putting a clip of it in our Facebook community. So go check it out there.
And you guys can share whether you piss in the shower or not.
Yeah.
Well, swiftly moving ahead, Skye Wheatley is back in the influencer rap complaining about her pregnancy body.
Yeah. Well, she took to a story after she'd been to the gym and shared the news that apparently a male had asked her trainer, oh, wow, what has she been eating? What has she done to put on that weight? And she was very, very embarrassed for someone to think that she was overweight.
Firstly, what kind of dickhead is commenting on a woman at the gym putting on weight? And secondly, she barely looks pregnant at all. I feel like she is just completely obsessing over her body, because she also said to her followers that she would be sharing a comparison photo of what she looked like now compared to her first pregnancy.
I feel like she should be embracing her body and the changes that it's going through. She's having a child. It's such an amazing thing that her body is doing. I don't think she should be picking on herself so much.
Look, I agree with what you're saying, but I do feel like if you're in the situation yourself, it would be quite hard to come to terms with seeing your body that you've worked really hard on to tone. You know, she did have an amazing figure. It would be hard to see those changes happening and like losing control of your body.
But she seemed more concerned with the fact that other people might think that she's just gained weight.
Well, which is really odd, because she put so much time and effort into making such a big announcement that you would have thought people that go to the gym with her would follow her and have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I do get where you're coming from, Kate, because I feel like any change to your body is difficult. I can see where she's coming from, but I feel like she framed it in a bad way.
Yeah, I think when you're an influencer, it's not really great to go on complaining about your pregnancy body when you've got a very aesthetically pleasing body normally.
But it also makes people who are overweight feel bad about themselves, because she's suggesting that it's so embarrassing for people to think that she's put on weight.
Oh, I think that's reading into it a little bit too much. At the end of the day, she's just a normal person, and it would be offensive if someone was talking about your weight like that. Yeah, but if you are used to looking a certain way.
But why go on your story? She's pregnant. Get over it. It's a bit funny. All she has to say is, oh, I'm actually pregnant, and that's it. Like, why share on your stories that you're so ashamed that someone thought you were slightly, had put on weight?
I don't know if she's ashamed. I think that she's upset, so she's sharing it with her followers.
But why be upset about that?
Because I don't know. I suppose when you're pregnant, I'd be probably sensitive about a lot of different things.
I know, but I just don't think it's a great message to be sharing on your Instagram story.
Well, I think it also comes off the back of her sharing all these throwback photos of her tiny waist, and also sharing comparisons of her in this pregnancy compared to the pregnancy a few years ago. Why do you have to focus on the way you look all the time? It's just so unnecessary.
She's an influencer.
She seems to be putting a lot of pressure on herself to look perfect during this time, where she should just be embracing it. I just want to see her doing a McDonald's mukbang again.
You could tweet the word hello, right? And the Swifties would be like, yes, queen, she said hello. But then somebody could be like,
passive aggressive.
Why is she saying hello?
Petty. Why did she do that?
Yeah.
Why is she greeting us?
Yeah.
Who is she greeting?
Yeah.
She greeted us too soon. She greeted us too late.
Yeah.
She greeted us with a weird undertone.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us again. We do have a quick favour. If you are a big fan of the podcast, we'd love for you to vote for us in the People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, give the underdogs a vote, please. We would really appreciate that. I know we're up against some amazing podcasts, so if you could give us a cheeky vote, that would be much appreciated.
And basically, the link will be in our bio. You have to follow the link, search for our podcast, vote for us if you please, and then that will send you a link to your email address, and you have to confirm your vote just so that there's no fraudulent things going
on. Dodgy business going on. Wow, that's a lot of effort. If anyone actually does that, thank you very much.
I know.
And also, if you do love the podcast, we'd love if you could help us out and give us a 5-star rating, because it really helps our show.
And just to finish up, we are so excited for Thursday's episode of A Very Outspoken Christmas. Victoria Devine from She's on the Money will be joining us to share her Christmas traditions, as well as some Christmas budgeting tips. So we'll talk to you then.